Tonight I would like for us to resume our study in the model prayer as a portion of our larger look at the Sermon on the Mount. And we're in Matthew chapter 6 this evening, verse number 11, where Jesus teaches us to pray in the fourth of the six petitions in this model prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." I want to talk for a few moments this evening, the Lord being our helper, on our need for provision. Our need for provision. As I stated, there are six petitions in this model prayer. After the invocation, "Our Father which art in heaven," the first three petitions have to do with our concern for the glory of God, the kingdom of God, and the will of God. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus teaches us that the priority of prayer is to align ourselves with God and His program, with His agenda. Most of us, I expect, come to God in prayer, and immediately we begin to make requests for our needs. And it's not wrong to make requests for our needs, as we will note this evening. But first and foremost, prayer is an opportunity to commune with God and to acknowledge that we are concerned with His great concerns. And what are His great concerns? The glory of His own name, the progress and advance of His kingdom in the earth, and obedience to His law, submission to His will. So Jesus first teaches us to talk to the Father about the Father. And then, in the last three petitions, He teaches us to talk to the Father about the family. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Then He teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," and "forgive us." Now, of course, the focus now is on our needs. I think it's helpful for us to think of each of these six petitions as headings, and we are to fill in the details. This is a model prayer. It's a template, if you please, in which our Lord gives us in these six petitions these basic general statements, and of course we are to embellish on them and structure our prayers after this pattern. So when we pray and we begin to talk to the Father about our needs, we're to ask for three things. First of all, our need for provision. You see that in petition number 4. "Give us this day our daily bread." That refers to our need for provision, daily provisions. Then secondly, our need for pardon. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And finally, our need for protection. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, some have suggested that there are actually two petitions in verse 13, that the third petition should be broken down into two. But I think the conjunction "and," "give us this day our daily bread," "and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," "and lead us not into temptation but deliver us from evil," I think that conjunction "and" signals that these two thoughts in verse 13, both the negative and the positive, "lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," are in fact one petition, and it expresses our need for protection. These three petitions, then, I suggest, are a comprehensive description of our needs. And I emphasize that word "comprehensive." We tend to think that the Savior must have just given us a simplistic answer to the needs that we will face in life, but my beloved, that's far from the case. In fact, though these are very terse and staccato statements, these three petitions, yet they form a comprehensive description of our needs. I believe our whole life is dealt with here. You have the physical dimension of life. "Give us this day our daily bread." That's the physical dimension. The spiritual needs that we have. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then the moral needs. "Lord, keep us from falling into sin. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You see that? The whole gamut of life, the physical, the spiritual, and the moral, is wrapped up in these three petitions. I think we can be safe to say that our Savior covers all the bases regarding our needs. You know, the psychologist Abraham Maslow talked about man and his needs. And I'm not a particular fan of Mr. Maslow, but I believe people do have needs. But I think we can summarize all of the legitimate needs in an individual's life in terms of these three petitions. We have needs for material provision. We need food and raiment. That's wrapped up in this fourth petition. We have needs on a spiritual level for pardon and forgiveness, for grace. Many people forget their spiritual needs, don't they? They only focus on the physical or material side of life. And then we have needs on a moral or an ethical, perhaps would be the more appropriate term. On a moral level, we need help to live a good and godly and honorable and pleasing life to the Lord. So our Lord focuses on these three areas, which really covers the whole of our lives. Now the physical, which will occupy our thoughts together tonight in this fourth petition, is only one dimension of our lives. Many people live, my beloved, with the idea that man is just a body, that he's just an animal. But we know that man is more than just a body. That people have souls, that we have spiritual as well as physical needs. Most people, I think we're safe to say tonight, that when they talk to the Lord about things that they need, they're only or primarily concerned with, Lord, I need more money, I need a better job, I need lodging, I need food. They're concerned only with the physical. And my friends, obviously that we have spiritual needs that are probably more important than the physical needs in our lives. I say more important. They're more important because they're lasting needs, the need for forgiveness. I won't always need food and raiment. When I get to heaven, I won't need food and raiment. But my friends, grace will be the reason that I'm in heaven. And communion with God and fellowship with Him will be an ongoing benefit of eternal glory, but I won't have to eat over yonder, as far as I know. I won't have to have shelter over there. So the spiritual needs are more lasting. But yet, even though man is more than just a body, it is indeed one dimension of our lives, and it's not wrong. In fact, it's very appropriate to pray for our own material needs. And the fact that Jesus mentions this first in the list of our needs, the physical needs, even before the spiritual and the moral, is interesting to me, isn't it to you? Give us this day our daily bread. Why would he mention that first? I would think that forgiveness would be our most basic need. But the thought is, I believe that we have a physical existence in this world. And if that is not sustained, then we're not going to be capable of serving Him and pleasing Him. And our Lord understands that we have need of such things. You're in the very next, in this very same chapter, later in the chapter, we're going to revisit this theme of how the Lord has promised to provide for the needs of His people. And it's in that passage that we're going to hear our Lord say that the Father knoweth that you have need of such things. Isn't it wonderful that we can talk to the Father about our needs, even on a material, at the mundane level of physical life? We can talk to Him about our needs in the confidence, my beloved, that He hears and that He knows. Now, I want to make one more preliminary comment before we actually look at this petition tonight and to get more detailed about it. And that is simply this. Notice that this is a corporate prayer. Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our. Notice he uses the word not me and my and mine, but the pronoun our. Give us this day our daily bread. I think this is a prayer that expresses a spirit of love. We're taught when we pray not to be self-centered in our praying. And that's a very common problem, isn't it? We go to the Lord and we say, Lord, I have this going on in my life and I have these particular needs and I ask for this particular blessing. But our Lord teaches us when we pray to pray with a concern for the family, to pray in view of other people as well as ourselves. Give us this day our daily bread. John Wesley once said, there's nothing so unchristian as a solitary Christian. And I think that he's right on the money with that comment, that there's nothing that is so contrary to the spirit of Jesus Christ than this Lone Ranger mentality that focuses on my life and what's going on around me. Our Lord teaches us that when we pray, yes, we have needs, but we should not forget that other people have needs also. We should not forget to be loving, and that one of the primary purposes of our existence is to be a minister, to serve others. Now, with that said, let's look more particularly at this fourth petition tonight. Give us this day our daily bread. And I want to say three things about this petition. First of all, this is a prayer that expresses an attitude of humble dependence on God for every material need. An attitude, a prayer that expresses humble dependence on God. The word bread in this verse really stands as a general term to refer to the necessities of life, like food, raiment, shelter. In Genesis 3:19, whenever God said to Adam, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." I think we understand that he means more than just wheat or some kind of grain mixed with flour and water and baked into a loaf of bread. I think we understand that the use of the word bread in this verse has to do with our physical sustenance at every level in life. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Later in Genesis 28, verse 20, Jacob vowed a vow, we read, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." This is really a Hebrew euphemism, bread, for every physical necessity of life, food, raiment, shelter. And I think it would include our physical health and strength to labor. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're not asking God to suddenly send down a loaf of bread in our mailbox so that I go out and open the mailbox and there's a loaf of bread there. We're not asking the Lord to rain loaves of bread from heaven. We're saying, "Lord, give me the opportunity to work. Give me physical strength to labor. Give us this day our daily bread" is saying, "Lord, I'm totally dependent upon you for even the food that I eat, the clothes that I wear, and the shelter over my head." Now that attitude, my friends, is very basic and fundamental in the life of the Christian. We forget at our peril that we're totally dependent on the Lord. And I think in this day in which we live of affluence and prosperity, it's easy for us to forget that we need the Lord in our lives. In fact, I think this prayer probably seems somewhat irrelevant to many modern people today. Somebody might say, "Preacher, I don't see any need to ask the Lord for daily bread, for the grocery store is right down on the corner." When I lived and pastored in the state of Georgia, we went through a season of drought, a very significant drought for a period of time, and someone made the suggestion one day at church that we should meet for a prayer meeting, a special prayer meeting to pray for rain. And I'll never forget what one man said. He said, "Well, why do we need to pray for the farmers?" We talked about how the farmers were being hindered and how they were having trouble. He said, "I'm not real worried about the farmers." He said, "I get my bread from the grocery store. I get my food from the grocery store." And I just had to shake the cobwebs out of my head, and it was all I could do not to say, "Well, mister, get a clue." Because where does the grocery store get its bread? You say, "Well, they must import it from somewhere else." Well, you see, ultimately, my beloved, we're totally dependent on the Lord for the necessities of life, even for our daily bread. And though perhaps people tend to think that the shelves will always be stocked, the pantry will always be full, the cupboard will always be overflowing. Did you know if God were to withdraw his blessing upon us, we could suffer the lack of the physical necessities of life, every one of us, in a heartbeat? You might be here tonight and you might say, "Brother Mike, I'm set up for the rest of my life. I don't know if you are or not, but maybe you say, I have plenty of money in the bank. My barns are filled to overflowing. In fact, I can take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry because I'm set up. Did you know, my friends, in just a matter of moments, all that we put our stock and trust in could be destroyed. Some catastrophe, some unseen danger. In fact, the Lord could bring us to a point of want and a point of desperation in a heartbeat. And that's why Jesus teaches us that when we pray, to express our humble dependence, our total dependence on the Lord, even for the daily necessities, those most basic and fundamental needs of life. There's not a person here tonight who doesn't need God's blessing upon his or her life for the simple and basic needs to sustain our existence. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13, the word bread includes even our physical health and strength to labor. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Now he says, don't fall in love with sleep. Don't be lazy, don't be slothful, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. You see how the word bread is used here? To speak, if you please, of every necessity of life. And I think what Jesus would have us to learn from this petition, my friends, is that he is the source of every blessing. I love that verse in James 1:17. It says, every good gift and perfect cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and perfect. That is, whether you're talking about eternal life, that's a good gift, isn't it? That's the best gift. Salvation from our sins. Where did that come from? It came from God. He's the source of that blessing. The spiritual rebirth. The regeneration, the new birth, where did that come from? It comes from above. When Jesus says, except a man be born again, the word again in John 3 literally means, in the marginal reference, if you'll look, from above. Every good gift comes down from above. But not only the spiritual gifts, but did you know even the physical blessings of daily life come from above, from the Father of lights. There's an interesting verse in the second chapter of Hosea. Hosea 2:21 and 22, listen to this. It shall come to pass, saith the Lord, that I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and it shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel, or Israel. Now maybe you heard me quote that verse just now, and you said, what in the world? What does that mean? Well, start at the end of the verse and work back to the first. Here's the picture. Israel, the people of God, are depicted as crying out to the corn, the wine, and the oil. These were the three staple crops of that agrarian people. The crop in the field, the corn, the grapes, the vines, the wine, and the oil, the olive trees. Here's Israel, and they're going to their crops saying, we need a greater harvest. We're not getting enough food. So Israel is depicted as going out to the field and asking for a better harvest. And the field, the wine, the corn, and the oil is in turn asks the earth. We need more nutrients. We need more moisture. We need more nourishment so that we can produce a greater harvest so that Israel can have more food. The earth is pictured as turning to the clouds, to the sky, to the heavens. And saying, we need more rain so that we can give more moisture and more minerals and nutrients so that the crops can produce a greater harvest so that Israel can have more food. And the sky, in turn, asks the Lord and says, give me more rain. And it shall come to pass, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. Now here's the point. While we may be prone to think that our blessing comes from the field, and the field may think that it is totally dependent on the soil, and the soil may think that it's totally dependent on the rain. If you trace blessings back to their source and origin, ultimately it all goes back to the Lord as the source of every blessing. The fact is, I'm not dependent on the field. I'm not dependent on the soil. I'm not dependent on the rain. I'm dependent totally and completely on the Lord, who gives his blessing or withholds his blessing upon our lives. It's frightening for me to think of how quickly my life can come unraveled at the seams, even on a material and physical level. It's frightening, my friends. I've noticed how much upkeep it takes to keep a house in order. Have you homeowners noticed that there's always painting to be done, or light bulbs to be changed, or carpets that need vacuuming, or this to be repaired? There are always repairs. How long would it take your home to begin to break down if you neglected it for just a period of time? It wouldn't take long, would it? And how long, my friends, would it take for your life? How long would it take for your financial state? How long would it take for every aspect of your life to just fall apart if the Lord withdrew his blessing? I don't think it would take long at all, my beloved. That's why he reminds us that we're totally dependent upon him for everything. Listen to Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, says the wise man Solomon, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is an important verse. It's an important verse for every young person. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways. You see, here's the point. We're to be totally dependent on the Lord for everything. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Mike, I think that whatever's going on in my life right now is too trivial and insignificant to ask for the Lord's blessing upon. Well, did you know if it's a matter of concern to you, then it's not too trivial and insignificant to ask for God to intervene. In fact, I believe everything that we do, everywhere we go, we should constantly breathe a prayer expressing our dependence on the Lord, because we are weak and frail and fallible. Our lives are brief and uncertain at best. And my beloved, this spirit of humble dependence on God for every needed blessing of life is basic and fundamental to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Acknowledge your need of him in your marriage. Acknowledge your need of him in raising your children. Acknowledge your need of him in finding work. Acknowledge your need of the Lord in making major decisions in your life. Acknowledge your need of him in maintaining an honest and just living in this world. Acknowledge your need of him, my friends, so far as solving problems that may arise on a daily basis. In every area of life, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That's why Paul says, pray without ceasing. You know, that's an impossible command to obey if you take it literally, if it means that we're to never leave our prayer closets. But if Paul means that we're to live our lives in a constant attitude of dependence on God and in regular communication with him, so that whenever our minds are removed from nearer things that occupy our thoughts, they spontaneously return back to the Lord, like the needle on a compass automatically goes back to magnetic north whenever it's removed from nearer magnetic sources. I think that's what he means, that we're to live our lives in a constant attitude of dependence on the Lord. In all of our ways, we're to acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. We're totally dependent on him for everything. Psalm 123, verse 2 says, as the eyes of servants look to the hands of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden waits upon the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Just as a slave is totally dependent on his master, and a maiden is totally dependent upon her mistress, so, my friends, you and I are totally dependent on the Lord for every blessing. Did you know we depend on him for life itself? Acts 17:25, in his sermon at Mars Hill, Paul says that God is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. What is the source of your life, your physical life, your breath, and everything that you have? The Lord is. He doesn't need anything from us, but he gives life and breath and all things. Did you know that he maintains the whole universe? He upholds it all. He made it all, and he upholds it by the word of his power. I love that verse in Colossians 1:17 that says that by him all things were created, and by him all things consist. Not only do all things exist by him, they were created by him, but they consist. That is, they are sustained, they are upheld, they are maintained by him. Who was it that believed that that planet Earth sat on the backs of two giant turtles? Or that it was upheld on the shoulders of Hercules? The ancient Greeks had a number of different strange ideas about that. But I'll tell you how it's upheld, my friends. It's not upheld by some mythological figure. It's not sitting on the backs of two giant turtles. It's upheld by the word of his power. It is sustained. And if you start thinking about that, the delicate balance in the ecosystems, all of the animals that need feeding on a daily basis, can you imagine the organization that it would take to keep it all going, to make sure that the sun, you say, well, I think the Lord just made it all and put it into motion, and sort of now he maintains a distant, disconnected, and remote stance to it all, that he's not involved. Well, that was the philosophy of the deists. The deism believed, my friends, that God was not involved with his world. But the God who made it all sustains it all. The God who created it maintains it. In fact, listen to Psalm 104, verse 27, where the psalmist speaks of the creatures in the sea, both small and great beasts. And he said, "These all wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, and they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, and they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, and they die, and return to the dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, and they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth." This passage teaches us, my friends, that earth, planet Earth, operates according to God's providential oversight and hands-on management. He opens his hand and feeds the whales and the sharks and the fish in the ocean. And then he withdraws his hand and they die and return to the dust. They decompose. You see, my friends, God upholds it all. Job 34:14 asks this question. If God sets his heart upon man, if he gathers unto himself man's spirit and man's breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. Job says, what would happen to us if God were to withdraw his hand on our lives? We would perish in a heartbeat, in an instant, in the flash of a pen, in the twinkling of an eye. All flesh would perish together. In his hand is the soul of all mankind and the breath of every living thing. My friends, if he were to withdraw his providential oversight, then we would have nothing. So this prayer is an expression of humble and total dependence upon God. It is intended to remind us that we are not self-sufficient. And we need that reminder on a daily basis, that I'm not self-sufficient. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiencies of God. My beloved, I want you to think in a fresh and new way right where you're sitting tonight, that I can't just take for granted that I'm going to have food in my cupboard, clothes on my back, shelter over my head, health in my life. It's not a blessing that I should just take for granted as if it will always be there. My friends, we are totally dependent on the Lord, and we must maintain this attitude of this humble posture, recognizing and confessing our need on a daily basis, praying as Jesus taught us, give us this day our daily bread. Now, this is not only a prayer expressing our total dependence on the Lord, but it's a prayer that expresses an attitude of contentment. Do you hear contentment in this when Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread? I think it's significant that he doesn't teach us to pray, Lord, help me to win the lottery. or Lord, make me a millionaire. But he teaches us to pray in a realistic way, with a contented heart. Lord, give me what I need to sustain life. That's a wonderful attitude. Proverbs 30, verse 8 is an interesting verse. May I turn there and draw your attention to this verse for a moment? Agur, who is the author of Proverbs 30, or the writer here, says this. He prays this. He says, two things have I required of thee. Verse 7. Lord, I ask you I make two requests of you. He says, deny me them not before I die. Here are his two requests. First, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. That's the second petition that I'm concerned about when he says, Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. His prayer is, Lord, feed me with food convenient for me. That word convenient literally means the bread of my portion. Give me the bread of my portion. Notice he doesn't say, Lord, help me to make $1 million. That's not wrong to make $1 million, but that's not his goal in life, and that's not his prayer to the Lord. He's content. In fact, he recognizes there's a danger if he has too much. What is the danger if we have too much? He says in verse 9, lest I be full, if I have riches, he says, Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches. He's praying that the Lord would keep him between these two extremes, between being totally abject and poverty-stricken and being so wealthy that he forgets the Lord. The danger in being full is that he denies the Lord and says, who is the Lord? Isn't that a danger when we have too much, that we forget our need of the Lord? Heard a preacher say one time, maybe that's why the Lord keeps me so hard up, is so that I'll remember that I'm totally dependent upon him. Lest I be full and forget the Lord and say, who is the Lord? And deny him. That's a danger, my beloved. Or lest I be poor and steal. You see, if I have need, that may tempt me to sin and take the name of my God in vain. So he prays, Lord, I just want enough to maintain life, and I ask you for that. I think that's an attitude of contentment that is so necessary in our lives, and we hear that attitude expressed in this fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. You want to know who truly is wealthy? The truly rich person. It's not the person whose investments have done well. It's the individual, my beloved, who is godly and content to be godly. He's satisfied with living a godly life. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we shall carry nothing out. That is certain, isn't it? Naked came I from my mother's womb, says Job, and naked shall I return thither. Elder Glenn Blanchard says, I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. We just won't carry anything with us, will we? We will carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, therefore, let us be therewith content. Having food and raiment, Lord, thank you for my daily bread. Lord, bless me today with my daily bread. It's a prayer that expresses humble dependence on God. It's a prayer that expresses contentment. And finally tonight, it's a prayer that expresses faith. Give us this day our daily bread is a daily prayer. Notice the adjective, daily. Give us this day what kind of bread? Our daily bread. And of course, we don't pray that on a weekly basis or monthly. We pray it every day. Jesus intends for us to talk to the Father about our needs on a daily basis. In fact, this is a morning prayer. Like David said in Psalm 5:3, in the morning, O Lord, will I lift up my prayer unto thee. In the morning will I lift up my prayer and look up. Because we would offer this prayer, most likely, at the beginning of each day. Lord, give me the strength today to labor, satisfy, and fulfill our material needs today. And To live on a daily basis without knowing, my friends, that I have a stock of grace laid up for the future. On a daily basis, to depend afresh on the Lord is what faith, living by faith, is all about. Living by faith, my beloved, is living a day at a time, day by day. I love the way that Luke records this prayer, this petition, in Luke 11, verse 3. He says it like this: give us day by day our daily bread. Give us day by day our daily bread. Every day, a day at a time, a step at a time. That's the onward way. That's what it means to walk by faith. I think of Israel gathering manna in the wilderness as a prime example of this principle of what it means to live by faith, trusting in the Lord. You know, the children of Israel did not go out one morning and gather enough to last them for an entire month or even an entire week. On a daily basis, they had to go out and gather the manna. And of course, on the Sabbath day, they were to gather enough on the sixth day to last them on the Sabbath day. And the Lord sustained them so that they didn't do any work or labor on the Sabbath. But you see, every other day of the week, on a day-by-day basis, they had to go and gather the manna that they needed for that day, teaching them to learn to live by faith. Another illustration of this is Elijah, whenever he was with the widow at Sarepta, and her meal and oil was miraculously preserved by God. You remember that story? Elijah was with her, and while he stayed with her and she trusted in God, the meal did not deplete from her barrel. She did not have any lack of oil in her cruse. Now, do you believe that she had 50-gallon barrels of meal out there stored in a barn somewhere that she said, well, I've got plenty? And I've got a pipeline to the olive vineyard piping olive oil into my home. No, my friends, she had a little cruse with oil in it and a barrel with some meal in the bottom. And she had enough food to fix one more meal for her and her son, and then they were going to die. You remember the story? And Elijah said, fix me a little cake first. And she trusted in God and ministered to the man of God, and God miraculously provided for that dear woman so that the oil in her cruse did not diminish. The meal in the barrel did not diminish. I don't believe it filled all the way to the top. I just mean every day when she reached down and picked up some meal, she said, well, there's still meal here. She made some bread. The next day she went in and, well, looky there, there's still meal. And she'd pour oil out and put it back down and say, well, I thought there was only that much left in the cruse. And sure enough, there's still that much left. The Lord, day by day, sustained her. That's what it means to live by faith. Deuteronomy 33:25 says, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. What a tremendous promise. You know, we make a mistake when we try to live our futures all at once. God has not called us or commanded us to live tomorrow, today. In fact, when tomorrow gets here, we'll have enough problems then to occupy our attention. But today, my beloved, he's promised to take care of us. And when tomorrow gets here, he will take care of us again tomorrow. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Living by faith means that we live a day at a time. If you're facing an insurmountable problem in your life, a difficult, knotty issue to unravel, I suggest, my friends, that instead of trying to solve it all at once, you do what you know to do today and depend on the Lord. And tomorrow, you trust him anew to give you strength for that day. And you labor that day and do what you know to do that day. And then the next day. And the days will turn into weeks, the weeks into months, the months into years, and the years into a lifetime of living by faith. For Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And you know, God has promised to, and he has proven his promise, that he daily loads us with benefits. Psalm 68:19, blessed be God who daily loadeth us with benefits. Like Joseph's wagons sent home to his father Jacob to prove that he was still alive were loaded with the delicacies and the riches of Egypt. So my friends, I want to tell you, God daily loads us with benefits. Your wagon is not going to be left empty when you have legitimate needs. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, knoweth that you have need of these things. There's a hymn in our hymn book that says this: though troubles assail us and dangers affright, though friends should all fail us and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide, the promise assures us, the Lord will provide. The birds without garner or storehouse are fed. From them let us learn to trust God for our bread. His saints what is fitting shall ne'er be denied, so long as 'tis written, the Lord will provide. When Satan assails us to stop up our path and courage all fails us, we triumph by faith. He cannot take from us, though oft he has tried, this heart-cheering promise, the Lord will provide. No strength of our own and no goodness we claim, yet since we have known of the Savior's great name, in this our strong tower for safety we hide, the Lord is our power, the Lord will provide. His call we'd obey, like Abram of old, not knowing our way, but faith makes us bold. For though we are strangers, we have a good guide, and trust in all dangers, the Lord will provide. That's the thought behind this fourth petition in the model prayer, when Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We have need for provision, and we have a provider, my beloved, a Father in heaven who takes care of his family. And may we trust him tonight and make this expression of dependence and contentment and faith a regular part of our daily prayers.